Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. We are back in Southtown Sporting Goods because Larry's here and had a couple more questions to ask and we run out of time. So he was gracious enough to come back on the show. Larry Agus, owner of Southtown Sporting Goods here in Fayetteville. Let's talk about aging reservoirs. That was a big question a lot of people have been asking about.
Well, reservoirs were built, you know, primarily in the 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. They haven't been built much since. That era is over. So they're all getting older. And as they age, they change dramatically. When you build a new reservoir, you flood land that's laid fallow for generations or, well, eons, really. And you get a tremendous spike in production. You short-circuit all the production mechanisms. In other words, you're decaying leaves and grass and what have you, so you have very short cycled energy transfers, and it makes for tremendous production for a year or two, but that's eaten up literally by the organisms that are there very quickly. And then you settle into a condition where it's what are the conditions around the reservoir that will influence production? Does it get a lot of water through it? Those that have more water flowing through get more nutrients. A reservoir like Beaver, for example, has a theoretical retention time of 1.5 years, roughly. Well, that means that water exchanges once every 1.5 years.
Wow.
So it's pretty nutrient limited by comparison to, say, a Grand Lake, which is a close one, that's exchanging its water about every 90 to 100 days. So it's a more fertile lake. And then you get up looking around this area to, say, Lake Dardanelle, which can exchange its water in 3 or 4 days. So it's then those are real quick. So your production peaks out at some point. Years ago, we studied this. And it peaks out in those reservoirs that exchange water more quickly. So anyway, that's just kind of a general statement. And it doesn't always be sport fish. It can be carp, gar. They all differ. But the mountain reservoirs, the Beaver reservoirs, which is an example from around here, tend to not produce a lot of rough fish. They produce a disproportionate number of sport fish, table rock, bull shoals. So you don't have these massive populations of carp, and catfish don't do really well in these, for example. They're there, but not like 50 miles west when you get into these plains, big rivers, and so it's different.
So an old reservoir. What are some of the things that they do to try and get that flux up increased?
Well, unfortunately, you can't do much to control it. Now, the shape of the reservoir and how it fluctuates, and just natural weather cycles are very important in the production. That's true for the whole Mississippi drainage. Years ago, we took a look at the whole from Minnesota when I was consulting down to the Gulf, and the whole systems expand and contract on wet and dry years. So drought cycles tend to reduce production. It's not as good for them as wetter years are. So if you look at a reservoir, a Beaver, for example, it benefits from wet weather. So does the Grand Lake. Bull Shoals, that has a lot of fluctuation, big fluctuation zone, will have big spikes from wet periods. It grows up in the off time, and all of this material that's grown up on the land and the alkalinous of the material that just leaves and everything float in when you have floods. So all this is energy for the reservoir. So they prosper from these wet cycles. And right now, we're kind of coming out of a wet cycle. We've been in a wet cycle here. California would be a fun place to look at for a few years. They've had extreme droughts.
Right.
And these reservoirs have been down huge.
Way down.
Then all at once, they filled. Right. And you had this tremendous amount of growth around them. I think you'll see new reservoir effects on those reservoirs. You'll see production spike pretty good. And certain sport fish really benefit from it. The largemouth bass benefits more than the smallmouth and the spotted bass from really wet cycles. Bull Shoals is a great example. It gets down 50 feet and then it floods. Yeah. And when you have these wet years, it hadn't changed over the years. Years ago we saw it. You'd get a wet cycle and you'd have tremendous production for a year or two. Then they dry out and the fishing falls off a little and it starts to get crappie, prosper right. from wet years in these reservoirs. So we're coming out of a cycle where in the area around this central part of the country, Grand Lake has had really good years. Beaver's had good fishing, Bull Shoals, all these lakes. But we're using up the resource that we produced when it was wet. So if it stays dry, we may see a drop off in production. But
how about sediment? Because like right now, War Eagle, we'll use that. It's really dirty and stain compared to normal, like Ozark Highland reservoirs. They are really, changed by that.
Well, much more slowly than a reservoir, say a. I keep using Grand Lake because it's a contrasting one. It's silting very rapidly. If you could think back 50 years, and I grew up on that lake, the fisheries, the upper end of the lake, up around Port Arthur and the creeks coming in are essentially silted in. It's filling much more rapidly. The life of a reservoir and the mountain lakes, the Beaver Lake will have a long life. It's a deep lake.
Right.
With not a big watershed. If you have a large watershed that can contribute a lot of material, reservoirs are sediment traps. What comes in, if you can look at Beaver, it comes in dirty, goes out clean.
Right.
So something's being left in the lake, and that's the material that's washed in. Wet years tend to wash in a little more, but I can't remember. It's been a long time since we did this, but it seemed like we were doing some calculations just for fun, and we calculated the life of Beaver to be several hundred years.
Right.
Six or seven.
Wow.
These mountain lakes have small watersheds. Beaver's watershed is about 1,100 square miles.
Right.
And so, like, it changes water every one and a half years. So it's going to silt in more slowly. There's siltation taking place.
Yeah.
And it's on the upper end of the reservoir. But as you go down lake, it's not nearly as – it's a slow process, very slow process. It won't happen in your and my lifetime, I can assure you.
Right.
It'll get a little grubbier. little upper end will get a little dirtier, but that's it. Other lakes, I don't remember exactly. We played with Grand Lake calculating that years ago, and it wasn't that long. It was it's silted a lot right now. If you look at the people familiar with this part of the country, the Cowskin Arm, those places have silted in very substantially. And where you have a big watershed, and especially if it's cropland where you can have a lot of silt coming in, they're just sediment traps.
And what happens to the fishery when that sediment starts building up where there used to be rock, right?
Well, that's true. And now the fluctuation zone will clean it, but below that, if you have a zone where the water fluctuates 20 feet.
Right.
The shorelines will always get scoured a little. But as you go out a little ways in the water, towards 10, 20 feet deep, you can accumulate a lot of silt accumulation. So, the bottoms change and become more silted. But in a Beaver Lake, for example, the siltation will be greatest on the upper end, of course, because that's where it settles. And Hickory Creek, above that, really, there's a lot of – you can when the lake gets down, you can see it. But it's a slow process. It's a slow process. The fisheries change, but that's not necessarily just sedimentation. The new reservoir effect, where you get a lot of nutrients and you've got standing cover around the edges, those shorelines scour just from the wind and as time goes on. So your fisheries will change. Beaver seems to have a lot of small or spotted bass.
Yeah.
And that's partly because of the fluctuation zone. It's and this is another story. But years ago, we looked at reservoirs with different fluctuation patterns, and those with the fluctuations a lot like Beaver tended to produce strong. You can track them across central Tennessee and going west, where you have a fluctuation range of 15, 20 feet.
Wow!
It seems to favor that species and. That's a whole other story. And the smallmouth, it fits in these clean reservoirs. They come on with time. They've gotten that populations have grown, and walleye. And if you look at the Missouri River reservoirs, when those filled some 60, 50 years ago, they were crappie and bass and northern pike fisheries for just a few years.
Right.
And now they're a walleye, a I guess they've got lake trout. I haven't looked at them for a long time, but
right.
totally different fisheries. They clean up, and the shorelines become clean, but they silt, and everything changes. And but they will gradually fill up. And right now we're kind of left with what we have. We're not building new reservoirs, so
right.
There's not much you can do about the populations.
Tell us about the standing timber. So there used to be groves of standing timber, didn't there, on Beaver Lake?
Beaver had it, yes.
And they didn't really come in when they made Beaver. They didn't come in and do much logging, or did they do logging?
They cleared a substantial amount of it. That was there are a lot of it's clean, but you'll find areas. They left timber in certain areas.
Yeah.
And it's the same now. You can find areas where it was cut. They cut a 50-foot vertical strip around a lot of the lake. And then they left it in certain arms, and coves were left. Some were left timbered.
Yeah,
that's still there. It's getting pretty rotten.
It takes a while for that to
process. It takes a long time for it. And down deep, they left all the timber below. I've forgotten what the it was like. 1070 or 10. Anyway, there was a 50-foot vertical area that they cut.
Wow.
And they left the timber in the bottom of the reservoir. So there's still old timber.
Will that just stay there? How does it decompose?
It takes a long time to decompose.
Because it's not
cold. It's cold. And it's never being exposed to drying.
Right.
Has an effect. In other words, if it's in the fluctuation zone, if it stays underwater for a long, long time, it'll last. It'll last a long time. I don't know exactly what the amount of time would be, but that old timber down deep in Beaver Lake is going to be there.
I know I found a strand of this whole grove of trees that I'd overlooked, and I guess because the electronics now are so much better,
so good,
that's really, those are trees. I thought they were like big boulders.
Down in the deep, and you can see them still in the deep part of the reservoir. They didn't clear the bottom of that reservoir. It was left, and of course it contributed to some of the early. They don't clean the land. It just, when it floods, whatever was there. So, but they did strip clear Beaver Lake, a portion of it, and they left areas of timber. As my memory serves me right, there's some coves on the north side below Prairie Creek that still have timber, but a lot of the coves were left timbered. And then they left some arms pretty clear. Clifty Arm, I believe there's quite a bit of timber still standing in it. There were areas they didn't strip clear, but they logged it. They cut it, yeah.
Wow.
That was in the 50s, 60s.
50.
time ago.
What else happens with aging reservoirs that is something that kind of sticks out that is different from having a river type? System.
I kind of hit on that when we started talking. They become dependent on essentially the weather. Wet years will give you a lot more nutrients.
Uh-huh.
So you have these ups and downs. And there's really not much we're able to do about it. You have dry years and wet years, but you don't think about it. But the nutrient loading to a reservoir can vary by 200-300% from year to year. Just if it's very dry and you don't get any runoff, well, if you're not getting nutrients, then Mother Nature's real good at cleaning up, and the lake will become clear, and the production will actually drop off. Then you get another wet year, and it starts over. So it's driven to a large degree by the weather patterns, and that's just the way it is.
And you talk about the fish, the cycles of them coming through you. Then it's good to have years where it's not wet, right? Because we had like 5 years in a row, we were just pounded.
But it made for pretty good fishing.
Made for good fishing, but
we're in a little bit of a drought cycle now, so I think you'll see a little decline. Yeah, and it's that's just the way they work, but it'll get wet again. It's been doing this forever
since the world's been spinning.
For certainly more than our lifetime. But we'll have cycles. We'll have wet and dry cycles. And the wet cycles are produce them, and the dry cycles, you catch them. This used to be a saying we had years ago.
Right.
And there's a little truth to that. They produce The high water produces stronger year classes of fish, generally, just more nutrients. It's just part of the cycle. But we never did learn to control it. You can't really add nutrients to a reservoir, so that's one of the limiting factors in production.
And water control was the reason why they built the dam itself.
Sure, they were built for other reasons.
Yeah.
And fishing, each one had its own set of conditions, if you will. Some were built with recreation factored in. Others didn't have recreation as part of the plan. It was hydropower, flood control were the big things they were.
Little did they know Ray Scott was going to come through Springdale, Arkansas, and talk to the insurance man. And here we are today.
Here we are. Right.
Did you ever get to meet Ray Scott? Ray Scott.
I've been at meetings where he was attending. I never really took time. I've said hello and shaken hands with him, but I've never really spent time talking to him. But he. Back when the reservoir program was active, they set up the Bass Research Foundation. That was the ASS. And he would show up at some of those meetings. We attended those.
Right.
My boss, Robert Jenkins, was director of the – he was a member, and I went with him to a number of the meetings. So I met – but just never really sat and visited with the man, so I never had to – But he's a very interesting, very dynamic person. I mean, I admired the drive of these people. They're pretty impressive.
That's right. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits for all those game fish that are swimming around Beaver Lake or Grand Lake or any place where you're fishing. You can check them out at picolures.com, or you can come into Southtown Sporting Goods, and Larry has some right behind us, and you can get
them. We'll have a lot more as soon as the new year starts.
There you go. There you have it. Larry, tell them where you're located at.
Well, we're located in Fayetteville, Arkansas, 4602 North College, just north of the Northwest Arkansas Mall, and next to Locomotion on the east side of Business 71.
All right.
Right between Fayetteville and Springdale.
There you go. There you have it. So, like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.